This is what should be done by one who is skilled in goodness and who knows the path of peace. Let them be able and upright, straightforward and gentle in speech, humble and not conceited, contented and easily satisfied, unburdened with duties, and frugal in their ways, peaceful and calm, and wise and skillful, not proud and demanding in nature. Let them not do the slightest thing that the wise would later reprove, wishing in gladness and in safety, may all beings be at ease. Whatever living beings there may be, whether they are weak or strong, omitting none, the great or the mighty, medium, short or small, the seen and the unseen, those living near and far away, those born and to be born, may all beings be happy. Let none deceive another, or despise any being in any state. Let none through anger or ill will wish harm upon another, even as another protects with her life her child, her only child. So with a boundless heart should one cherish all living beings, spreading kindness over the entire world, spreading upwards to the skies and downwards to the depths, outwards and unbounded, free from hatred and ill will, whether standing or walking, sitting or lying down, free from drowsiness. One should sustain this recollection. This is said to be the sublime abiding, by not holding to fixed views, the pure-hearted one, having clarity of vision, being freed from all sense desires, is not born again into this world.
So I have a suggestion here already. What is meditation?
And why do we meditate?
Good question.
So what is meditation? Meditation is letting the mind become peaceful, which is for Westerners especially an unusual state of mind, because we all grew up by being encouraged to think things through, and if you could multitask, you were praised, actually, if you could do many things at once. And in meditation, it's taking the hands off the wheel. It's not trying to manipulate things. It's not trying to figure things out. It's the stopping of trying, which is a very difficult thing to accomplish, because it goes against pretty much everything that we've trained our whole life. And that's why a lot of people have problems with that, with meditation. And then they try to, okay, meditation is watching my breath. So I have to watch my breath, and then they become tense watching their breath, and they can do three breaths, and then something comes up, and then it becomes frustrating because their goal is to watch their breath. So if you want to set yourself a goal that your mind is not just continuing on like it does from day to day and from minute to minute, please set your goal to be aware of your intention. Be aware of the attitude during the meditation in your mind. And the only manipulation that I can encourage you to do is give it a bit of kindness, a bit of patience, a bit like somebody is watching who doesn't care so much what is happening, but who is friendly towards that, whatever comes up in the mind. And when I mean whatever comes up, usually we get more aware of the body. So what comes up is body feeling. And sitting in a chair with a body is uncomfortable. Huh? If we don't fiddle around, if we sit relatively still, we figure out how uncomfortable it is to be in a body. So just bring up this kindness towards, oh, okay, this is having a body, but body, you can relax. Huh? I do my best to make you as comfortable as possible. So that is part of that attitude, what I'm talking about. Huh? Instead of having a goal of achieving something that you don't think, or you just focus on your breath, or you just focus on your mantras, or whatever you're doing, the long-term meditators here, or counting, or visualizing, or whatever, my emphasis, and I don't see it really happening for people to have some nice letting go experiences if this attitude is not right. And that attitude has to be trusting, kind, patient, and this sort of, it's nothing to achieve in my meditation. I look forward to my meditation because this is my refuge. This is the time when the mind can rest. This is the time with no burden. This is not something that creates more conflict and more achievement and more training and I don't know what in my life. This is the time where I would just watch patiently and friendly whatever is happening. Huh? If my body is aching a bit and then the awareness goes somewhere else, it goes towards sound, you become aware that it's not completely silent in this room. Huh? And then somebody passes a wind next to you and it goes to smell and actually it's a sort of unpleasant, or somebody has a strong perfume, actually that can be very intense as well then when you meditate. And so you see your awareness is gonna shift, it's gonna go through sound, through smell, through feeling of the body, through maybe mental feelings, mental images. Thoughts again, mind going into the future, mind going into the past. But you just please be aware of this. I don't have to do anything. I don't have to figure out anything. That can help you just staying in this moment with what is in that moment, right here and now. And we're going to have our eyes closed, so that makes it. At least the visual impact reduces that a little bit. Sometimes we still, you see that the awareness is going behind the eyes, and then you see, wow, I'm sitting still in an environment where there is, even through my eyelids, I can see light. So it's not completely, and we can never block our ears off completely. We don't have a choice. The sound is going to come in. So I just encourage you during the meditation, keep in mind, don't have to achieve anything. Just try to stay in the moment. I don't have to figure anything out. And put a little bit of kindness in it. If you want to make effort in your meditation, put it in that kindness towards what is happening. Okay, any questions before we start? All right, let's go.
So I hope you have all figured out what is your favorite position on the ground or how to sit on a chair for half an hour with being relatively comfortable. going to meditate for half an hour. So let's just become aware of this body that is sitting here. Let's see if we have it as relaxed as we can. Make sure the distance of your feet is correct towards each other and the angle from the seat of your chair towards the ground is comfortable. We can relax the legs, just all the muscles relax in the legs. I should stand in a position now where there is no support of the muscles needed, no tension of the muscles needed to keep them in any certain position. Now we just go through the middle of the body, and you make sure that you can, if you take a deep breath, that the breath can come in easily. That is, the position is not to bend forwards and not to bend backwards. It is just comfortable to breathe in and out. As effortless as possible. And while you do that, you check that out, you can take a deep breath, and then you let, on your out breath, you let your shoulders come down. See if there's tension in the shoulders still, trying to hold on to something. For that you have to check your hands a little bit, if they are in a comfortable position on your lap. So you can wriggle around a little bit and make sure your shoulders are loose and your hands are in a nice position, that you don't have to use your muscles to hold them there. Just by checking if you can breathe comfortably, you should also find the right balance of your head and your neck. It should come naturally in the right position where it's just as comfortable as possible. Hopefully during the meditation become even more relaxed, and sometimes it happens that you feel there was still tension in the shoulders, and then it's coming down during the meditation, which is an excellent, just relaxing more and more into it. Now we check our face muscles. Your mouth, is your mouth nice and relaxed? Sometimes it helps to give yourself a little smile, because that symbolizes a positive attitude for ourselves. There's still tension about the mouth because there's a smile. It's all right. It's gonna go down maybe during the meditation when the smile becomes internal. It's not needed anymore on the face as a helper. Your eyelids rest gently, hopefully. And the forehead is not creased. It's just completely relaxed. Because we don't need to think or worry about anything now. Just have this short moment where there is no duty at all. Like sitting down comfortably and just being completely here in that moment. A beautiful, cool room, nice people around us. Just the interest, the friendly interest in what is happening. That is where we can put effort in. And if you find you like a resting point and the mind doesn't know where to go, the breath is always there for you, if you control it or if you don't control it. It's completely automatic. It goes on and on and on. No problem if you manipulate the breath when you look at it. It's usually what happens. Just stay with that kind attitude as good as you can. the mind has calmed down a little bit, you can put your kindness on your breath. And just this kind interest of the body doing its work, the feeling of the in-breath and the out-breath in your body. If you bring that kindness with you, you figure out that you don't manipulate so much.
So the meditation is almost over. Just if you're aware of your attitude right now, and if somebody else had that attitude towards you, what sort of person would you consider him to be or her to be? Kind, impatient, loving, that's what I mean with this internal attitude during your meditation. Grumpy. Just being aware of that, not judging that. Important note, because if it's more agitated than before, then somewhere we lost the plot. Somewhere was somebody there who wanted things to be different, wanted to achieve something. It just didn't put the effort into this kind watching. Okay, so the meditation is going to end for today. I'm going to ring the bell 3 times, and then please open your eyes.
So, why do we meditate? Was one of the questions here. I guess that's a question you have to answer for yourself. I always like to bring it to the very beginning, to happiness and suffering, trying to avoid suffering, trying to gain happiness. That's the basic tendency of the mind, that is what our actions and non-actions are there for every conscious living being. Trying to avoid suffering, trying to be happy. So that's part of the reasons probably that you are here, because you're not happy at home. Well, trying to figure out what that game means, this searching for happiness and trying to avoid suffering, and realizing that there are mechanics and mechanisms in the mind that lead to more suffering, and there are skillful ways in the mind that lead to less suffering, that would be a major part for me to where meditation can assist to become even aware that this is not an outside world that makes us suffer. This is our mind. It's always our mind that suffers. And what control do we have over that mind? And when we meditate, we see there's very little control. There are feelings coming up, and thoughts coming up, and we can say, oh, I want pleasant feelings in the body coming up the whole time, and the body is not going to listen. There's going to be unpleasant feelings and neutral feelings, and maybe here and there, and vaguely pleasant feeling if you're lucky. Or you can tell yourself, I'm going to watch my breath now for half an hour and I'm not going to think. And you see, wow, the mind is thinking and thinking and thinking. And you see this control that we assume to have is a complete illusion. It just doesn't work like that. We don't control our feelings and our thoughts in the way we think we do. Oh, and people say, oh, your will is just not strong enough. You're weak-willed. That's the reason. You cannot achieve your goals because you're weak-willed. There's nothing. Will is, if you have a strong desire for something, and you tell your mind, actually, wow, this is great. If I have that, then that and that is going to happen, and I will be happy. And you think that and believe that continuously. That is how you establish will, nothing more. Oh, this beautiful girl, if I just had her, actually, if she would just bear my sons. Oh. And then you fantasize and fantasize around it. And then sooner or later you maybe make real big effort getting that girl. Or if it's the job, if I just have this job and then that amount of money and power and the promotion and I don't know what, and you tell yourself how great it's going to be, people listen to you and you're going to be an authority figure, and I don't know how many zeros behind your one on your bank account, and then you can buy this and buy that. And that is how you create will, how you create desire. It's just like the more positive thoughts you put in that direction, the stronger that desire becomes. Huh? And nothing more than that. There's no happiness and there's no control. It's just another desire controlling you. It just doesn't work like that. If we always look back to the point of happiness and suffering, trying to be happy, trying to avoid suffering, this is not the mechanism of eradicating suffering. Because you can have really strong-willed people look at aspects. Huh? Are they happy people? There was recently that swimmer, a famous one, I think, not that recently, but he committed suicide. He got, I don't know how many gold medals and whatnot. So very powerful minds, very determined, strong-willed people. There's no happiness in that direction. It's just basically strong will. And a lot of people try to meditate in the same way. Meditation, just have to bring the mind to a certain concentration, to a state, and then it's going to be in control. And it's just another will, another desire, another needless suffering which will spoil the meditation sooner or later so badly that you don't want to do it anymore. So why do we meditate? To become more aware, to see this out of control thing that we call a human being. This mind has a law to it, the same way that there's a natural law here as well in the physical realm. There are certain things you can do and you can't do. And if you do certain things and think in a certain way, you're going to cause yourself and other people more suffering. And if you think and you do certain things in a different way, you're going to be happier in your mind for yourself. And you're going to cause more happiness to other people because you become a more pleasant and content person. So your happiness and the other people's happiness, they go together. It cannot be separated in a way. And to understand this mechanism what is that that causes us always more suffering? Why? First, this knowledge that you gain in the meditation of a lot of this, what we take ourselves to be, that is out of control, can make some of you crazy if you're not careful, if you think of it in a wrong way, or it lifts this great burden off your shoulder and you see, wow, this is conditioned stuff. This is just conditioned things and it can be reconditioned. There are certain thought patterns in my mind that create that reality. There's a certain way I treat my own mind. This is the reason I'm feeling this way. I have a certain world view in my mind. This is the reason that I perceive other people, other religions, other behaviors that way. It's trained. And if you see that this aggressive aversion, this negativity, that if you see that coming up in your mind and through your meditation, if you meditate and you become more mindful, you see them coming up, these states, and then you can say, oh, this is not a state coming up leading to more happiness in my mind or to other people's happiness. Maybe not directly. I don't manage it directly all the time. Definitely not after so many years. But when I get upset, it doesn't take that long anymore. I don't have to wow. And sometimes these thought patterns, they just sit there and they're eating themselves, you know, this person or this situation and or this worry, maybe a sickness or whatever it is, and causes so much stress that doesn't need to be. If we just see, well, this is a thought. How is it going to help me, that thought? How is it going to help other people? This is just negativity. This is just fear. And becoming aware through the meditation that we're creating our own universe inside of ourselves continuously. Seeing which patterns develop through certain kinds of thoughts and actions in our mind. Just having this confidence to sit down a few times or at least one time a day for a few minutes and just feel into you, and then you maybe see your day and what you did during the day and what you thought during the day, and you can see directly, oh, it's no wonder I'm so agitated now. And it's not the finger going outside so much anymore. It's because of this person or because of that happens. It's because, you see, there are things you reacted in your mind. The way you reacted in your mind was basically agitating you. There were still unskillful things you did in your mind. And then you can step back and say, okay, time to stop that now. And that's the beautiful thing, there is no extra blame attached to that. That awareness itself makes a stop point to it. If the mind becomes aware, I'm creating more suffering for myself right now, it's going to stop. Because that mechanism of wanting happiness and trying to avoid suffering, that is the absolute superpower in the universe, the unavoidable one. Nobody can fight that, nobody can do anything about that. That is the absolute nature of the mind. Wanting happiness, trying to avoid suffering. And seeing, wow, I'm going that way again in my thoughts. I know there's suffering in that direction. And if the mind really knows it in that moment, that you can feel it, you see it and the mind lets go of it. There is no, oh, you shouldn't have done that, how could you be so stupid again, or anything like that, because in that moment it's just relief. It's just the relief and the beauty that you have learned something. The mind has seen something in that moment. And it doesn't mean basically that in another moment when we're not so aware, it's not going to happen again. But these patterns, recognizing these patterns, these unwholesome patterns in the mind, become stronger. Like anything we do, we become more skilled in. And seeing faster that the mind is going in an unwholesome direction, it's just a matter of fact. It's just going to happen if we were aware more actually what is going on in the mind. And obviously if we're more aware of what is even wholesome and unwholesome. And that is what the meditation is for as well, because if you get agitated, if you get angry, if you get miserable after your meditation, then it's not, oh, I did something wrong, I can't meditate. It's basically, wow, what am I doing here? Why am I doing that to me? That is not my job. My job is to figure out, actually, what is causing suffering. Ah, it's because of this want, it's because of that negativity. Ah, alright. And if you can't stop that, it doesn't matter as well, because you know this stuff is not under direct control. We cannot will it to stop. This is a tendency, tenderer, leaning towards. This is like a tree leaning in that direction, and if you cut it, it's always going to fall in that direction and not in the other. Or a string. Just imagine a string that is really tense. That is a tendency. And we have hundreds of these tendencies inside of us. These wants and not wants. This is not just a thought. This is thought built up into something really, really strong and powerful. Through, like I said, like the sportsman who told himself how beautiful it would be to have the gold medal, and he fights for that, and he kicks for that, and he pushes for that, and he is selfish for that, and puts all his effort into that. That is how he created a really strong tendency, really strong will towards something. Yeah? And to let go of that, just like that, all sports is not so important. Just stop it. It's impossible. The same as telling yourself, I'm going to stop breathing now. Once the tendency is powerful, it's not we are controlling the tendency. The tendency is controlling us. And so it's every super strong desire has this danger manifesting itself. There's always the risk we're going to take if we develop very strong desire towards a person or an object. That is the risk we're going to take. If we fall in love, if we have children, if we have a beautiful new car, if we have this or that, the thing in itself, the desire for the object in our mind, creates the suffering already, or the potential for that suffering. And that is something meditation can show us as well. It's because we put a lot of value into something, that's the reason we're going to suffer when we don't have it. I mean, the best thing we are stuck with is the body. How much attachment do we have to the body? How much we think that is ourself? Something goes wrong, how afraid do we get when something goes wrong with the body? Cancer, oh my god, cancer. Just almost get faint in the hospital when the doctor tells you it's cancer. Just you feel the shivers running down your spine. Just the possibility of it. This is attachment for the body, this is strong, this is me, this is my body. I have to fight for that. I have to keep it healthy. And there's the nature of the suffering already inside of that, obviously. And we cannot just say, okay, I'm not attached to the body anymore. That doesn't do anything. Still as attached as you were before. And just this. But from time to time, maybe contemplating, this body is going to grow old and it's going to die. This is, if that is all I identify with, sooner or later I'm going to be in trouble. Because the senses are going to get weaker as well. The eyes and the ears and the smells, and the little Willy doesn't want to do what you want it to do anymore, actually. And whatever you got your pleasure for actually is just not working as well anymore. The body is going its way towards old age, sickness and death. That's just the way the body goes. And to be aware of that, it's a beautiful thing. It's basically it's lessening this attachment a tiny little bit. Every contemplation like that. It is not so important. There's a little wrinkle coming up again that you didn't see yesterday in the mirror. And some people, they are shocked actually. There's an industry, $1 billion industry about that. Just trying to fix that thing up to make it look beautiful still, but it's still, if you can put as much money in as you want, sooner or later it's not going to look the way you want it anymore. It's just what is happening to a body. That is a tendency, that is attachment. This is something we cannot avoid and we cannot control, and not through willpower. And obviously having other things that are important to us, our own mind, having a way out, gives a different perspective to that body getting old and dying. Having more beauty in one's own mind just lessens this fear of this body and what happens to the body. Creating that space in your meditation where you have a refuge. Where the mind goes into these thoughts where it's just going crazy, you know somewhere there is a refuge waiting for you, that place where you don't have to do anything, you don't have to control anything, you don't have to think. It's just this kind watching of what is going on. Creating that is for me at least the purpose of the meditation as well. Having this beautiful refuge in your mind, where you feel safe, where somebody is kind, doesn't try to control. And the longer you do that, and the more beautiful that space becomes for you, the safer you're going to feel there. Because that is a safe place, because it does want to control. It's not in the realm of wanting pleasure and trying to avoid suffering. It's this kindness that watches whatever is happening. And that makes it feel so beautifully safe as well, because there's nothing there that has to control anything. If you die right in that moment when you meditate, beautiful. Wonderful. I hope I can meditate beautifully before I die. Being in this beautiful space of safety, of no worries, not controlling. But first of all, the place has to become something nice in your own mind, obviously. And that takes this awareness of what you're doing in your meditation. You're just sitting there wanting something. That's another chore. And you're a good Buddhist and you meditate 2 hours a day, or you meditate every day half an hour, or you meditate every day 10 minutes. It doesn't matter if you don't feel that that place is something worthwhile, if that meditation is something, wow, how beautiful, I want to do that. If there's no, let's say, a wholesome desire coming up in that direction, sooner or later meditation is just going to be another chore. If the mind doesn't realize, wow, here's a place where I see clearer, here at least I see what is going on, and I have the power, and I have the faith, and I have the strength, and I have no fear to look what is going on, because I know it's not my business anyway. conditioned stuff. My business is to figure out what this stupid mind still does so stupidly that I suffer.
What time is it? 5 hindrances still? 8:14.
Well, is there a question right now? Okay, maybe we do the 5 hindrances the next time and see how we go.
Yeah?
I've been coming here for a couple of months, minus Christmas and stuff, so I'm relatively new. I've noticed since I've been meditating, my blood pressure's come down quite a bit. My doctor's actually said that it's a good thing. You know, like he actually likes this thing. The other thing, I've got this really bad habit of sitting there and my legs are going all the time.
Was falling asleep or what?
No, just my legs are sort of moving all the time, you know, like...
Shivering? Ticks?
Yeah, I can't... when I'm at home, I'm sort of forever... And I notice
the
lady next to me is doing the same thing.
Your leg kind of moves side to side, up and down.
You just sort of, you do it...
Or like a nervous thing?
Yeah.
But when I come here, when I'm listening to you, I seem to settle a little bit, and I don't have that sort of...
Hallelujah. I'm joking. No, it's great. I mean, that if I always try to take the pressure out from, I know how people try to meditate. I'm with meditators for a long time, and I've seen a lot of stuff. And usually what people do is they just put more pressure on themselves. And I try to take it away, makes meditation something different. Huh? And if that works, I'm happy. That's great. It should do that. The best thing, like I said, is when people fall asleep. That means they really get really relaxing. Huh?
And I don't see very often that, you know, the ladies next to me are doing the same thing I do all the time. And I sort of was going to say something, but I thought it's not my place because I'm not perfect, you know. I don't know how it happens or why it happens, but I tend to think, you know, like when I come here, I feel more calm, and my doctors notice that my blood pressure's gone down quite a bit.
Excellent.
Look, don't get me wrong, I'm still, I still take tablets and things, but it's come down a lot from where I was before to the point where he's taking me off some medication because he says, look, your blood pressure's getting too low.
Oh,
so
stop meditating.
I really like the fact that, you know, when I come here, I get home and I'm really calm and really relaxed, and I have a really good sleep.
Well, lovely to hear. But obviously, there should be these benefits in the meditation. Like I said, if the mind sees what is causing more agitation, we don't have to tell anybody anymore to don't do that, because if the mind sees, it stops. If you see clearly, I cannot do anything about that shivering of my legs, and you sit there and shiver and shiver and shiver and shiver, and you're just happy. It's just like, yeah, that's what this leg does. It's gonna tick like that. You will have a nice meditation. There is nobody who is gonna be in trouble. It's that mind that it shouldn't be like that. I don't want to do that. And that is where we get this intelligence. We see it, the body that is out of control stuff. Huh? If the mind relaxes, it can have a good impact on the body. But if we don't manage to relax the mind, we have to be so clever to see I'm just not capable right now to relax the mind. Huh?
I'm dominating your time, but just one other thing, just quickly.
Yeah.
I find that when we're meditating, if something really small happens, it interrupts me. It just sort of takes me out of where I am. It sort of almost scares me a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And I sort of come back to you know, where I was when I walked in the place? Is that quite normal?
No, I think you're abnormal. Well, something comes up, and then you go back to basically trying to make peace with what is happening there. Especially if it takes you out, it takes you out. You just realize that this is stuff coming up, and you go back to a nice attitude. Always come to that. That is the safe place I'm talking about, that you know, going back to this kindness in your mind. You cannot control what is happening there. Huh? If you would, like, if you fall asleep, if fear comes up, if you practice for long enough, wow, that can be so interesting. Fear is coming up. What is that? Wow, and then you look at fear, and you don't think about fear, you look at fear. How does fear feel in the body? And you will be so surprised. There's no problem with fear at all. It's quite beautiful, actually. Very. Huh? The rolling around in the mind, the thoughts, the not wanting, terrible. But the fear in the body is not a problem at all. And if one looks at it, I can remember that situation. I still had to do these lung tests for tuberculosis to get my permanent residency. And they told me there was some sort of a shallow there. And I remember sitting down in my hut, actually, and then, wow, shallow in my lung. Was a good smoker as well, lung cancer. And then this fear coming up in my body, just from the pit of my stomach up, actually, through my chest. And I just, wow, this is interesting. And then just the thought stopped, this proliferation about, oh, but what if I have cancer, I'll take our lung away, or maybe I die, blah, blah, blah. But that all stopped, basically. The babbling just was in the moment with the feeling of that fear, this intense feeling of fear, and looked at it, and it was, wow, that was becoming so nice and bright and powerful, actually, looking at it kindly. And that these are really, they are so powerful, these moments, when you realize this stuff where people say, oh, this is suffering and that is suffering, actually, and this is happiness and that is happening, and you realize, no, that is not necessarily true. Not at all. Actually, this is a game in the mind, and if you don't know how to play that right, then you're going to suffer. If you don't know how to deal with your own mind in a good way, you're going to suffer. That's just the way it is. And if you know how to deal with your mind, you suffer less and less and less. And so whatever happens in your meditation, if you have a tick and you get out of it, just you remember after a while and just go back to exactly how you started the meditation. Kindly watching whatever is going on. And if you have a feeling the mind wants to settle somewhere, take your breath, because the body has to breathe. It's got to do the business. If that stops, you know you're dead at least.
Yes?
You talk about fear. Would you use the same analogy for anxiety?
Sure.
Well, fear is obviously a little bit stronger than anxiety, I guess.
I think something like I can get.
Well, we have to agree on that. It's just words, basically. You know, I would consider anxiety sort of maybe if you have if you have to talk publicly, some people
or whatnot. Yeah?
Well, that would be obviously that for some people as well. Yeah, being around other people, but that can be massive fear already as well for other people.
That fear comes after anxiety.
I would say so, actually. Just by definition. That's how I learned it in school, in sociology, basically.
A lot of that stuff happens from when you're sort of thinking back on it, 20, oh, 50, 60 years ago, nearly. You can still feel that same, the same triggers that are making you happen, if you like.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, that's quite interesting. I was trying to analyze something up the other day.
But what? Are you able to look at it?
Yeah, like trying to think. Hang on, this is not new, this is old hat. I should be over this rubbish now, but shit's still going on. There's not 66.
Well, obviously not. But it's and that is for me not the important thing. For me, wasn't important. Oh, you're still attached to the body. You think you have lung cancer. Now you have fear coming. For me, the important thing was fear was a thought momentum coming up in the mind, triggering a really strong feeling in the body, realizing that, being able to, oh, what happens just without that thought process and looking inside of the body. Yeah. And seeing that, the mind realizes, what is fear? Fear is thought. Fear is thought of, is a continuation of thought. It's not a feeling. It's the feeling itself cannot sustain itself. It's basically this running around in circles in your mind, in your thought process. That is fear.
So it's mind over matter.
Mind manipulating matter. If you say matter to the body, but it's so interconnected actually that it, I mean, a single thought sometimes can trigger something in your body. But being aware of that and knowing how to take your hands kindly off that. I'm not fighting that. Every time I get upset when I'm still getting upset. After so many years being in ropes and using the bad word actually in my own mind, or outside, if I would get upset about it, I wouldn't stop anymore. It just still happens. But it's just I'm pleased with the fact that I'm not taking stuff to my heart anymore. Before I even go back to my Zulu forest, to my heart, gone. That is good for me.
Yeah.
That is where I see my progress.
Yeah.
And if there's still fear coming up, I don't care, but I know how to look at fear.
Just leave it behind.
No, I look at it. If there's fear and I can, it's a feeling in the body if it's strong. And it's really interesting. I can just encourage you, if you have fear coming up, look exactly and see where it is in the body. And the closer you look, the funnier the things that is going to happen, I guarantee you. If you're really looking closely where it is on the body, you fear. Because the interest takes away that game in the mind, usually, that you continue with that thought process that caused the fear. And this interest has something kind to it. Interest in itself has some kindness to it. We like when somebody is interested in us. Huh? Somebody pays us interest. Somebody is interested in what we're doing, and the same works in our own mind and in our own body. Just taking this interest of trying to figure out, hey, what's wrong? What's wrong with you? That's kindness. And that is also very, very interesting in itself. It becomes even more interesting and more kind when you look. So that is the way I try to progress, at least, actually. I don't want to use any other way in my own mind. If we don't treat ourselves kindly, I don't know who else is supposed to do that. More questions? It's 27 already, so we're ending our allowed time limit here. Yeah? All right. Thanks very much for listening. I'm back as a few nonsense.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much, Adam, for your talk tonight. Thank you very much. And thank you for your questions. It makes the night interesting. Yep.